Good morning. I would like to bid you a hearty welcome here this morning. My name is Jeff Hildebrand, and if there are guests in our midst, a hearty welcome to you as well. I'd like to greet you with the words that we find in Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 2, where we read, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, of you making all requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ." Amen. So I've titled this morning's message, "The Contrite Heart." But before I get into the message this morning, I would like to go back to the last time I was here, and I would like to make a clarification. And I made mention of a priest in the Catholic Church, and it may have sounded like I was proving the Catholic Church in some of their teachings, and that is not what I intended to do. So I apologize for that, and I just wanted to make you aware I stand by the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and if I have caused any confusion, I sincerely apologize. So with that, let's unite for an opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne of grace this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are in our midst by the way of your Holy Spirit, that you will be here this morning, that you will lead and guide us. Father, that you would place a hedge of protection around this church. And Father, we're just trusting that you will guard our hearts this morning. And Father, that the truth will be spoken. And Lord, that we will be refreshed and renewed and be good servants, and that we would be good stewards of your word. And Father, we also just ask that you would be with those that could not be here this morning for whatever reason. And we also ask, Lord, that you would lift up and encourage those that are either in their care homes or shut in at home, that you would get the message of Jesus Christ to them so that they could too be refreshed. Father, wherever the word is being preached in truth, we ask this morning that you would bless those speakers and those that are to receive your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. This time I'll turn it over to the song leaders, please.
Al volg mijn juiste loven, dan maar 388.
Good.
Gottes Herz, ich bringe dir, Nummer 329. 321.
Well, thank you for that singing and that playing. And if you have your Bibles along this morning, I'd invite you to turn with me to the 51st Psalm. So this is a psalm that David wrote. And we're going to be going through the entire psalm, but for the first half of this message this morning, we'll be going through the first 10 verses. So in Psalm 51, beginning at verse 1, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done evil, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." So here David is crying out and he's asking for forgiveness. And what brings him to this point? He has to understand, and just like you and I have to understand, that we are sinful. And we need to have this contrite heart, or another word for that might be a humble heart. And a humble heart, we recognize when we sin, that we need to acknowledge that sin, or sometimes we make mistakes, we need to acknowledge those things. And then we need to confess, and we need to clean them up. And that's what David is ultimately doing here. He's just pouring everything out, and he's saying, look, I have sinned. I need to be cleansed. And if you look at verse 2, and I kind of wanted to touch on this a little bit, it says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So I was telling a little story in the ministerial room about how I was helping my neighbor across the street, and we were shingling his roof. And I was there to help, and if you've ever done something like that or been part of that, and you deal with tar. Now, tar can get on your hands, and which it did in my case, it was all over my hands. I grabbed some tools that were covered in tar. And you can't just simply wipe it off. You have to make a serious effort, and you have to scrub it off to get it off. And it took me a couple of minutes or whatever, and I finally got it all off. And here, when I look at verse 2, of what David is saying, he's saying, wash me thoroughly. In other words, and he's talking about his heart. Wash me thoroughly and clean all of that iniquity out of my heart, because that's where our sin rests. It comes into our lives. It rests in our heart if we don't do something about it. So in verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So he's still referring to his heart, how it needs to be cleansed, and now his spirit needs to be renewed. Now, again, sometimes we've been experiencing a lot of hot weather, and you walk into an air-conditioned building, and it just gives you this cooling and refreshing. So that's kind of a bit of an example of how we sometimes are refreshed. But now we're talking about our spirit and how we can be refreshed if we have this clean heart and we give ourselves over the Lord and we trust Him. And this is something that we need to accomplish. We need to strive for this. We live in a world today that is all full of different thoughts and ideas and challenges and concerns. And we need to make sure we know what direction we're going. And we're only going to know that if we get to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a very deep personal way. And sometimes that means, and maybe you've all heard this term before, we need to eat some humble pie. And when we do that, when we have this contrite heart and we are humble before the Lord, that is when we can really begin to flourish and begin to grow. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 9. And in Hebrews chapter 9, I want to start in verse 19. And just kind of draw a little bit of a point here. And it has to do with Moses at the beginning. So I'll start there. So Hebrews chapter 9, verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. In other words, all the things that they used for worship. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And what I would like to try to draw your attention to is Moses, when he was doing his teaching when he was expressing what the law was saying, if you go back and you read the Old Testament, and if your sins were to be forgiven, then the priest would have to go, the Levite priests would have to go into the Holy of Holies, and they would enter in, and there would be a sacrifice that was made. And this they did until your sins were forgiven. And they would do this. This was a ritual that they had. But Christ, when he came, in verse 28, now I want to read that again. It says, so Christ was once offered. So one time, Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins. So he purged us. He cleansed us. And it says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So if we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he has done the purging and the cleansing on our behalf. And he went to the cross, he died the one time to offer us salvation. So my point being here, in today's society, today's world, we often hear of different teachings that teach different things. And this is important for us to understand that Jesus Christ bore our sins. And what he did on the cross, he accomplished for all of us. It is sufficient. The comment that we hear so often, and I think sometimes maybe it might be, maybe when I hear the most often is when I'm talking with some people that are struggling, and I hear the same question. What do I have to do? What do I have to do to be saved? Well, you have to accept Christ. Well, I did that. What else do I have to do? The point is, Jesus did it all on the cross. We just have to come to him. And, you know, when we come to him with a humble heart and we ask for forgiveness, the Bible teaches us we're forgiven. And the world teaches things like you know, you have to add on, you have to do more, you have to do this, you have to do that. Well, you have to accept Jesus Christ. That is what we need to do. And with that, we know that our lives will change. You take a look at how that happened in the Bible so very often, and you have been witnesses of that. You have probably seen someone in your family, in your life, that when they gave their life over to Jesus Christ, there was this transition, this change in their life. That's all part of growing. But what do you and I ultimately need to do? We need to make sure that we're right with God. And we get right with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And that's why it's so important for us to have that personal relationship with Him. And again, sometimes that means we have to be very humble. And we have to understand the significance of what Jesus did on the cross. And so I hope that we here today all understand that Jesus Christ is the true thing for us. Yes, we need to confess our sin. We need to change our lifestyles, for sure. That's a part of an example of us becoming godly people. We change things in our life. And, you know, when I was young and going to Sunday school, and I still love this conversion of Saul to Paul. It's just such an epic moment of a change in one man's life that was incredible. And we're still having those types of things happen today. People are changing their lives because they recognize who they are, and then they fall down and they worship God. And they may not literally fall down, but they come to a point where they know that they have to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the transition that happens in our lives. And that's the good news that we can share. So I want to encourage you to share this with people. Don't hold it into yourself, and don't just walk by people without sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, there's a lot of opportunity. Sometimes it's just a quick little chat with somebody. But sometimes it takes us to get to that point of humility and say, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be humble before the Lord and trust that He's going to give me the words to speak to help someone else understand the salvation story. So before we go over the second portion of the service this morning, I have a prayer request that I'd like to share with you. And it reads as follows. It says, please pray for Catherine Fair in Mexico. She is having surgery today, and she is the sister to David Wall, one of the ushers here. So as we kneel, I would ask that you please pray for Catherine Fair. So with that, for all of you that are willing and able, would you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the God of grace, mercy, and love grant us our petitions according to our faith.
Take your ad book and turn to number 272, O My Comrade, See the Single. Can we stand?
Thank you again for that singing and playing, and having prayed in the name of Jesus, you can be assured your prayers will have been heard. So let's go back to Psalm 51, and we'll start at verse 11. So Psalm 51, beginning at verse 11, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." So I just want to stop. When we look at the verse 11 and 12, here's a couple of requests, and they are that the Holy Spirit would not be removed, and that David would understand the joy of his salvation. And then there's an action in verse 13, and this is something for us. It says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. And look what happens when we respond. And sinners shall be converted unto thee. So that's the significance of what we need to be doing. And like I said, sometimes it's really being very humble and going out and doing what we know God is calling us to do. Verse 14 goes on to say, deliver me from blood guiltness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shalt they offer bullocks upon thine altar. And I kind of wanted to focus on verse 17, where it talks about the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. Well, let's look at that a little bit. As people, we want to be whole. We want to be physically healthy. We want to have those things. And there's nothing wrong with desiring that. But here it talks about being broken. And why is it important to get to be broken? Well, from what I understand, in the sense the scriptures is talking about, when we become broken, then we recognize who we are before God. And if we recognize who we are before God, then we know we need a Savior. And that brings us back to God. Does not push us away from God. It actually brings us closer to God. So, sometimes I have heard people say, I feel broken. Well, sometimes then we need to dig a little deeper and ask, what do you view as broken? And if it's a struggle in their journey, in their faith, maybe that's God just telling them, look, you need to humble yourself before me again, and let's move forward. And some people have a real hard time doing that, because we don't like being broken. How many of you, and I'll just throw out a bit of an example here, but how many of you, if you had a choice, you would go into a store, and you were going to buy something, would you take the broken one? Would you buy the broken one, or would you buy the whole one? Well, I think most of us would buy the whole one. That's what we want. And the broken one to us seems somewhat useless. But when we look at what David is telling us here about being broken, it's not that we're useless. Not at all. In fact, far from it. It should be drawing us closer to God, because what it does when we're broken, it humbles us. And humility is a wonderful thing. Pride is not a good thing. And that's, so many people struggle with pride. So when we look at a humble heart, we can go through the scriptures, and you can go through the Old Testament, you can go through the New Testament. And of course, the greatest example that we have is Jesus Christ himself. He served with humility. He had a humble heart. Interesting. He always spoke the truth, though. That having a humble heart does not give us permission to deviate from the truth. In fact, we better stick to the truth. So when we have a humble heart, what do we recognize in our life? What do you and I recognize? Let's make sure we grasp the understanding that if we have this so-called broken spirit, broken, that we feel this brokenness, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Let's understand that. Because what God is, I believe, is trying to do is draw us closer to Him. And isn't that where we want to be? Closer to God? So I want to encourage you with that. Let's draw closer to God and wherever you are at in your life, I certainly don't know, but speaking for myself, I would say I can definitely draw closer to God. There's things that I need to do to draw closer to God. And that's on me. That's on my relationship. What does your relationship look like? But I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So who are we in Christ? When we become believers, so I hope you can probably all understand before you accepted Christ, you were probably living a lifestyle, and I'll go back to my life before I became a believer, is I was not following God, okay? Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to start at verse 17. Look what happens when you become a believer in Christ. So verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So what happens to our old self? It says, we're a new creature. The old things are passed away. That's a step of humility that we need to take. Then things become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when we become this new creature, we become reconciled to Christ. And what does that do to our relationship with Jesus Christ? What does that do to our relationship with the people we're around? We start living a life, a godly life, and people will recognize that and they will see that. And I am not telling you that your good works are getting you to heaven. Good works are part of who we become when we are followers of Christ. Our personal relationship with Jesus Christ, our acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that is what the salvation message is. And that's what we need to do. But then we need to add to that in the sense that people recognize through our works that we have a relationship with God. So it's a little bit different than saying our works save us, because our works do not save us. That's not what the Bible teaches. I want to go to the book of Romans. Romans, to me, has become a very interesting book. And so I wanted to draw your attention to a few verses there. So out of Romans chapter 6, and I want to start at verse 6. It says this. So Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, meaning Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we cannot serve two masters. You can read that in the book of Matthew. We cannot serve two masters. So who do we serve? We serve God. If we serve God, we don't serve sin. And we see in today's world, in today's society, that sin is running like a wildfire. It is running rampant. And it's being said, it's okay, but it's not okay. So we need to look at this verse and we need to understand we do not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If I could summarize verse 11, to me that is, since we are a new creature in Christ, we don't live the sinful lifestyle. Okay? We have to pull away from that, and then we live for God. And we can do that through Jesus Christ. And sometimes it seems very hard. And I would like to take you on a little bit of a journey. There has, there's been someone that has been introduced into my life. Not very old. But very troubled. We have visited a few times. And the challenge for this individual is very real to this person. And as I sit and listen, and we go through Scripture, the understanding of Scripture is actually quite clear in this person's mind. However, I'm not sure that it's transitioning to this person's heart. There seems to be a blockage. So this person is struggling. And as I listen, I almost feel like shouting out, there's a simple answer. And I try to express that answer. And yet it seems to be falling on deaf ears. They hear the words. They see the words in Scripture. But something is holding them back. I look at this, and I'm sure there's many people that are dealing with something like this. It is heartbreaking when they know of Christ, they know the importance of being baptized. They know the importance of a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. But there's this roadblock that this person is going through that seems impenetrable at this point. And we talk sometimes for 2 hours. And this person will come in, we will start our discussion, and the facial expression is one of, I'm so lost. And I would say, maybe he's broken. By the end of the discussion, there's smiles, and things seem to be more positive. And then maybe a week, 2 weeks later, we go through this whole thing again. And this person is just battling. And we're beginning, I feel, to get to the root cause. What I really believe is this individual needs to be humble and understand more deeply how this person needs God. We all need God. And it's interesting to hear some of the responses when you read Scripture and when you're struggling. There's a three-letter word in the English language that comes out a lot during these discussions. And that is the word but. And then it's followed by a response. And the response might be, but I don't feel that. But I don't understand that. But I don't know that. And that little word is a big roadblock. We can take that word and we can crush it. We can crush it because God is just asking for us, be humble, come before Him. We need to acknowledge who God is. And even though we may feel this broken, Well, maybe it's God starting the repair job. Just like he did in Saul's life. Do you remember what Saul's, well, now it was Paul, but after Saul's conversion, and he's spreading the gospel, what did he say about himself? He said he was the chief of all sinners. Boy, that's a pretty big statement. And why did he say that? The way I understand it, what I feel he was trying to address was he laid claim that he was the chief sinner because he persecuted the Church of Jesus Christ. That's how I understand it. There is so much hope for us as believers in Christ. What Jesus Christ did on the cross was he has given each one of us an opportunity for eternal life in heaven. So sometimes as we hit these little bumps in the road, and sometimes we may feel they're very big bumps in the road, but if they humble us a little and they make us take a good hard look at our lifestyle, maybe it's not such a bad thing. We tend to look at it as a negative. But maybe we need to flip that around and say, you know, God, you're really starting to open my eyes. And I want to be that person that you have created me to be. And what is that going to look like in your life? I can't say. What's that going to look in my life? That's who I need to look at. And I know we all need to make some changes in our lives. We can all do a little better. And the one thing where I want to encourage us to do a little better is let's make sure we come before the Lord, that we have this humble heart, and then go serve him like we ought to serve him, and be willing to share the good news that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. No one can take that away from us. So I want to encourage you, just be good stewards of the word. Go out there and let's share the gospel. And as we read earlier, then people will be changed. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the direction you give us. We know and we understand that sometimes we become very prideful. And Father, we just, again, we come before you and plead for forgiveness. Because that is not what you teach us to be. You teach us that we need to come to you with a contrite, humble heart. And Father, we want to be those types of people. And yet we want to stand on the truth. We want to share the truth with others, and sometimes we find that we are weak in those moments. So we ask that you would give us strength, that you would lead and guide and direct us. Father, that we would just be encouraged and we'd be uplifted, that we would be brave and that we would go forward, and we would just celebrate that the fact that you have done so much for us, that you have prepared a very clear path on how to get to heaven, and that's by accepting your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we are thankful that you love us so much. We thank you that you are here today in our midst, and we thank you for each one that has come. And, Father, we just pray a blessing on this hour. We pray all this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So at this time, I want to invite you again to spend some time in prayer. So again, for all of you that are willing and able, do you please kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious to us.
Once again, take your red books and turn to page number 191. I came to Jesus full of sin.
One announcement today, and that's an invitation. The biannual provincial ministerial conference is planned for July 16th to the 18th. It's being hosted by the Manitoba Summerfelt Mennonite Church Ministerial. You're invited for an evening service July 17th at 7:30. It's at the Morden Summerfelt Church. The speaker is Pastor Reuben Clausen from the Bergtaler Mennonite Church in Warman, Saskatchewan. And you are all invited to that, and I hope to see you there.
Thank you for that announcement. As far as my message goes this morning, I have come to the conclusion of the message. Let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may now go with the peace of the Lord. Thank you for coming.